How many times do we do and use things that we don't understand how they work? Huh? How many folks know how these lights work, electricity works, beside flipping a switch? Over the years as a pastor, I found that we do a lot of things that most time there's people in the service that don't understand why we raise our hands, why we praise the Lord, why we praise the Lord out aloud. Huh? Why we believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, why we stand for what we stand for. A lot of people don't even know that. And when the Lord was here on earth, he gave us two ordinances that we should obey. The first ordinance was baptism in water. I believe if you're a child of God, we ought to be baptized in water. It signifies that we have died, been buried, and be resurrected. Secondly, we need to observe communion. That's the second ordinance. And he said, as oft. We know that the early church, they went from house to house daily, breaking of the bread and all that. But he said, as oft as you do this, most churches today, we observe the communion service once a month. And so tonight, I'm going to try to tell you some of the things of why we have communion. I wish I had time to do both the bread and the cup. Tonight I'm going to talk about the cup because it's more than almost that we can just squeeze in tonight. But would you turn with me to John 6 and 32 and let's read. Would you stand with me as we read it? I always like to stand. In the old days, the Bible said they stood all day while the Word of God was read. Ooh, wouldn't that be terrible today? No water fountain? The church I was saved in was a little old country church. And the only way you could get a drink was, well, pump. And had a pump out all about 40, 50 feet from the church, and people would slip out and to get them a drink. And when they would start pumping, that old pump would go, and everybody look out the window to see who was getting a drink. All right. John, the 6th chapter, verse 32. And then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never thirst, cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Now let's skip on down to verse 48. I am the bread of life. And then verse 51. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Let's pray. Father, quicken your servant one more time. We thank you, Lord, that your presence is in this service. And Lord, we pray that you would just help us tonight, Lord, to minister just as you would have us to. And Father, we pray that in the ministering of your word, that people would be blessed, and that, God, that our understanding would be opened, that we might understand the word of God through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Quicken us, we pray tonight, and we'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you may be seated. I read you that because that's not what I'm preaching from. I wish I had time to cover the bread because there's such a wonderful thing. But Jesus said, I am that bread that came down from heaven. He said, your fathers ate manna in the wilderness, and they're dead. But I give you that living bread that came down from heaven. That bread represents the body of Christ. Where should Christ be born if you're going to be the bread of life? Jesus was born in Bethlehem. You know why? Because Bethlehem means the house of bread. And so Jesus was born in the house of bread because he was the bread of life. Now, I want to talk to you this the rest of the time tonight on the cup. In 1 Corinthians, if you'd like to turn with me to 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, you don't have to stand up. I'll just let you sit. I know. Verse 25. And after the same manner, also he took the cup. And when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament. Now the word New Testament in the Greek is the New Covenant. God, the Lord gave us a New Covenant. He said, not, according to Jeremiah 31:31, says, not like your fathers had in the wilderness, but I give you a New Covenant. And he said, in my blood, this do you as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. If you read the Word of God in the New Testament, you'll find that the cup was mentioned very often. In the book of Matthew 26, the cup is mentioned three times. In the book of Mark 14, it's mentioned twice, the cup. In Luke 22, three times there's reference to the cup. And in John 18, there's once mentioned the cup. And all through the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you'll find that one of the things that's mentioned so often is the cup, the cup, the cup, the cup. What was the cup? What was the cup? Where did he get the cup? Turn with me to the book of John. I hope you don't put your Bibles away. The 18th chapter. Verse 11. Then said Jesus unto Peter, put up thy sword into the sheath. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? Now, where did he get the cup? The Father gave it to him. When Jesus came to this world, the Father gave him a cup. And I brought something here I'm going to use as that cup tonight. If I can get it out here. The Father gave Jesus a cup when he came to this earth. A lot of people believe that Jesus came to this world to be an example, to be the healer, to be those that fed the multitudes, those that did all kinds of signs and wonders. Let me tell you something. Jesus did not come to be just an example or to do miracles or signs or wonders. The very thing that Jesus came to this world to do was is his Father gave him a cup, and that cup was to be drank from. All through the Word of God, you'll find that cup was a cup that was ever before him. And when you read about Jesus, you find out that so often he mentions the cup. Because why? Because the cup was always before him, for he knew that before he could ever die, he had to drink it. In Psalm 75, 8 said, "In the hands of the Lord there is a cup, and the wine is red, and it is full of mixture. And he poureth out the same, but the dregs thereof, all the wicked of the earth shall wring them out and drink them." What was in the cup? What was in the cup? You'll find that if you begin to read the Word of God, and especially in the Old Testament, and you begin to read about the cup in the Old Testament, you'll find that every time that the cup was mentioned, it was always mentioned as wrath. Everywhere that the cup was mentioned in the Old Testament, it always meant that somebody was going to have to be punished for what was in the cup that was about to be poured out. Isaiah gave us the cup. Jeremiah talks about the cup. Lamentations talk about the cup. Ezekiel, the cup. Habakkuk, the cup. And Zechariah, the cup. And in each instant, every time that this cup was used in the Old Testament, it always stood for wrath. Now, I'm laying a foundation here. Habakkuk 2:16 said, "Speak of a cup in the Lord's right hand." Ezekiel 23:23 said, "It is spoken of in detail as the cup of wrath and desolation." And the Father sent Jesus to the earth, and he was to drink of the cup. What kind of cup was it? It was a cup that held all the sins of mankind. This cup held all the sins that was ever done from Adam and Eve all the way up to the time when Jesus shall come again. Every sin that is ever committed and never will be committed, Jesus drank from the cup that we might have eternal life. That was the very purpose of the cup. That he said, you're going to have to drink of this cup, because this cup represents the sins of mankind, the dregs, all of the filthiness and the bitterness. A number of years ago, I went to a Passover service. I had a man in my church that was, he had worked with the Jewish people almost all of his life, and we went to Beth Israel to observe Passover, about 600 of us Jews there. I didn't drink the Morgan David. The priest, as they were going through this, one of them said, "The Passover is a happy time now." And why is it a happy time? Because we drink 7 glasses of wine. And I want you to know, before it was over, they was happy. Why did Jesus come? He didn't come to do all the miracles and things. The Bible said, "For the Son of Man is come," what? "To seek and to save that which is lost." The sole purpose of Jesus coming to this old world was that he might die and be a perpetuation for for our sins, that he might save us, that we would not have to drink this ourselves. If Jesus would not have come, if he would not have partaken of it, then every one of us would be sentenced to death. For the Bible said, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. And we know that this. Why did he do that? Do you remember when God spoke to Abraham and said, Abraham, I want you to take your son Isaac and I want you to take him up on the top of Mount Moriah, and there I want you to offer him as a sacrifice. And that young man being about 17 years of age or in that proximity, and this young man started up that mountain, and when he got up, he was smart enough to know that there was something missing. And he said, Father, we've got the fire and the wood. Where is the sacrifice? And Abraham had told his servants down below, he said, my son and I will go hither to worship and we'll come again. Abraham had a belief that somewhere or another, even though he would kill his son and offer him a sacrifice, yet they would come again. And as they went up the mountain, they got there, and Abraham built an altar. And he fixed that altar with wood. How many of you folks at 17 years of age would have laid down? And he took and he after he built the altar, he laid his son upon it and tied his hands. And he took his knife and would have plunged him into his heart according to God's word. And as he began to pull his knife down, the Bible said the Lord stayed his hand. And the Lord said, Abraham, Abraham, I have provided for you a sacrifice. And he looked over and there was a ram in the bushes. When God would have us to drink this cup, because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, when God would have us to drink of this cup and we just ready to put it to our mouth, Jesus came to this world and said, I'll drink it for you. I'll be that Mount Moriah. I'll be the ram in the bushes. I will take this. You don't have to drink it. I'll drink it for you. Hebrews tells us, that sacrifice and offerings thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou given me. I want you to know, folks, when we begin to take of this, it means a lot more than just taking of something, of partaking of the bread and partaking of the juice. In the early days, people were not executed by hanging or by crucifixion or by stoning or by beheading. You know how they would die? How that they would punish them? They would take a cup and they would fill that cup with poison. Most of the time is hemlock. And they would fill that with that deadly poison. And then they would take and say, now here, you put it up to your lips and you drink it. How many of you would have been reluctant? Huh? They tell us that if you read about it, they tell us that if they wouldn't do it, they literally would take and prize their mouth open and take their hand. They didn't take the cup out of their hand. They took their hand and poured it down them until they died. If you read history, you find that Socrates died in such a way. Poison. Now the cup that Jesus took was not poison. It was sin and iniquity and judgment that he was taking for you and I. Thank the Lord. Jeremiah 25:15 says, take the wine cup of his fury at my hand and cause all the nations of whom I send it to drink it. In the upper room. If you would like to turn with me to Matthew, the 26th chapter. Verse 26. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sin. I want you to notice, in the time of the Passover, when Jesus was observing the Passover with the disciples, the Bible said he took the bread and they break it and they passed it around. He said, every one of you disciples, you eat it. And he said, now here, take the cup and pass that cup around. And every one of you drink of the cup. But I want you to notice the one that Jesus never drank of the cup, and neither did he take of the bread, because he still had a cup yet to take. Jesus never touched the cup because there was still a cup before him. And after they had taken the Passover, the Bible says they went out and crossed over the Kidron Valley into the Mount of Olives to a place called Gethsemane. A place where Jesus often went to pray. The Bible said Judas knew where he was because he often went there. And as he entered the garden, the Bible said his heart, spirit was heavy for knowing what was still ahead of him. And he told some of the disciples as they entered the garden there, he said, you sit here. And he took Peter, James, and John, the sons of Zebedee, and he took them a little further, and he went there and he began to pray, and his heart was heavy, and he said, you stay here, I'm going to go a little further. And the Bible said he went a little further and he began to pray, and he knelt down and he began to pray, and the Bible said he prayed three times. What did he pray for? Let's look at verse 39. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not I will, but thy be done. Don't you know, brother, that his heart's desire was this? He knew that that cup and the thing that drove him to prayer, the thing that drove him to great anxiety and on his knees was the very fact that he knew that there was a cup that had to be drank. And he said, God, if it be possible, Heavenly Father, let this cup pass from me. He came back and he found Peter, James, and John asleep. And Peter was the one that had said, Lord, I'll never deny you. And he said, Peter, could not you watch with me 1 hour? And the Bible said he left him. And he went again, and he began to pray. Then cometh Jesus with, and the Bible said, in verse 42, and he went away again the second time and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. He knew beyond matter that he would to be drink of that cup, because that was his very purpose of coming to this world. And he came back and he found his disciples again. And the Bible said, and he went back the third time and he prayed. What did he pray? The Bible said he said the same thing over again. And as he left the garden, after he got through praying, he came and woke his disciples up. And as they left the garden, here come Judas Iscariot with the Sadducees and the Sanhedrin and the high priest and Annas. And they took him and they came to him, and Judas planted a betrayal kiss on his cheek. I don't have time to go into all of this. I wish I had time to give you all the scripture. But the Bible said somewhere down the line that Jesus had told the disciples to take a sword. Now, you never give a preacher a sword unless it's a word. And when Malchus, the high priest's servant, took and began to grab Jesus, the Bible said Peter whipped out his sword and he whacked him one. He's aiming for here. And he cut off his ear. And Jesus reached down and picked up that ear, shook the dust off of it, and stuck it back. And he turns to Peter and said, "Put up your sword. The cup that my Father has given me, shall I not drink it?" You can't stop it now. Peter, I've got a drink of that cup. You can't stop it by a sword. That cup is before me, and I must drink it, and I must drink it soon, for the hour is at hand. They took Jesus to the high priest's house, and there he was judged. They put a cross upon him and led him to Mount Calvary, the place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. And the Bible tells us that as they got there, they nailed him to a cross. And on that cross, the Bible records seven sayings that Jesus brought from the cross while he was hanging there upon Calvary. The first one I want us to look into is in John 19:28. If you'd like to turn with me again. And after this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, Jesus said, "I thirst." Now, there's a lot of different, there's a lot of people that interpret this different. I don't believe Jesus wanted water. I don't believe Jesus wanted gall. I don't believe he wanted any kind of morphine or something that would kill the pain. I believe that the thing that Jesus was crying out is, "Father, I thirst. Let me drink it and get this over with. It's before me, and I desire to drink it. I thirst." And they didn't understand what he was, and they brought him God and put it on a stick and stuck it up for him to drink. In Matthew 27, if you'd like to turn back with me, if you don't learn anything else, you'll know where the Word of God, the Bible, is tonight. The 27th chapter, verse 46 of Matthew. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? What happened? What had taken place? Jesus had begun to drink of the cup, and when he drank of that cup, he became sin. Do you know that? The Bible said he that knew no sin was made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God. He took the cup for me, and when he took that cup, the Father turned his back upon him, and Jesus had never known the loneliness of not having the Father to look over him. Then Jesus cried, Tei, you know what that means in the Greek? That means it is finished. How many know that when you read the Word of God, you find the words in italics? That means that it's been added to the Greek to make it where it makes sense. And if you interpret this of what Christ did upon Calvary, you'll find that the word is only one word. When Jesus cried out, he cried out one word and one word only. When he died, when he said, Lord, it is finished, he said one word, finished. What did he mean, finished? He meant the cup was empty. Hallelujah, the cup was empty. You know what that meant? That meant that I had nothing to drink. That meant that you had nothing to drink. That meant that there was no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. He finished the cup. He finished the cup. There's nothing left in the cup for me to drink. Oh, hallelujah. 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 I'm so glad. I'm so glad he drank it for me. I'm so glad he drank it for me. I'm so glad he. We can say there is now, therefore, no condemnation. Oh, folks, I stand here redeemed tonight because he drank it for me. I stand redeemed here tonight. And the Bible said there is, therefore, now. I want you to know, folks, that he paid the complete price when he drank the cup to the fullness. Amen. Finished. Finished. I want you to know. I don't care where you remember anything else. I want you to know, brother, that when Jesus died upon Calvary and gave up the ghost, he said, Father, I have finished that cup that thou gavest me to drink of. Hallelujah. 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 What about our communion? What about communion? In a little bit, we're going to be taking communion. What about this cup? What about this cup? Turn with me to 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. Hallelujah. Verse 16. I want you to read it with me. If you got a Bible, I want you to read it with me. The cup of curse. Didn't say that, does it? What does it say? the cup of blessing. I want you to know, folks, this is not the cup with the dregs in it of judgment. This is a cup of, hallelujah, this is a cup of blessing. And when we partake of this evening, we're not taking of the curse He drank it for us. We're taking of the blessing that He turned it around. And He said, well, you can drink of this cup, because this cup is a cup of blessing, not a cup of curse to you and I. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm so glad tonight that when we, in just a very few minutes, we take and we serve communion to all of you. I want you to know, when you put that cup to your lips, we can say, Lord, I thank you, Lord, that this cup is a cup of blessing tonight. Oh, hallelujah, that He took all the dregs. He took away all the sin. He took away everything that we are. And He turned us and He made us children of God in Christ Jesus. We've been blessed tonight. And sometimes we put this up to our lips and we don't even realize that the Lord changed all the ingredients of this, of the cup. And this cup that we partake of now is a cup of blessing, not the cup of curse that He partook of. Aren't you glad this evening that He took the cup? We used to sing a song, He paid a debt. He did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to take my sins away. I want you to know. I want you to know tonight. He paid a debt He did not owe. He drank a cup that was not His. He died a death for you and I. He died for you. He died for me tonight. And because of that, I can say, Lord, I thank you, Father. I thank you. Somebody said, when I get to heaven, I'm going to walk down the streets of gold, and I'm going to put my feet in the river of life, and I'm going to eat other 12 manners of fruit. Oh, no, you won't. Let me tell you what you're going to do. You're going to fall at His feet. And for year upon year upon year, you're going to say, Lord, I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. You died for me. I want to put my hand in His nail-scarred hand. I want to put my hand in His side as Thomas, when he said, my Lord and my God. And I want to tell Him, I want to tell Him from these lips, oh Jesus, I want to thank you for that cup that didn't belong to you that you took. I want to thank you, Lord, for the sacrifice that you made that didn't belong to you, it belonged to me. I'm so glad that He took the cup. A lot of people don't even realize that the cup that Jesus drank was a cup that belonged to us. The cup that He drank, He belonged to us. In the Bible said that I believe it's Joseph had two sons. One of them was Ephraim and Manasseh. And when Jacob was old, he brought his sons before his father to bless them. And he put the oldest one so that he would be on his left side where he'd be on his father's right side. And he put Manasseh on the right side. He put Ephraim on the left side. And when his father began to bless him, that old man that was blind, that couldn't see, he took his hand and he crossed them. He laid his right hand upon Ephraim. He laid his left hand upon Manasseh. And seeing it, he said, oh, you got it wrong. His father said, I know what I'm doing. Jesus took and he crossed his hands. And he put his right hand upon us. And he put his left hand upon his son. He knew what he was doing, that we might have eternal life. Would you just bow your head with me? Jesus, oh, we praise you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. We praise you, Lord, for what you've done for us tonight. Oh God, I was so unworthy. I was so unworthy when I came to you. But you made it all possible that I can enjoy the blessings of the Lord. And Father, I ask you if there's anyone here before we take communion, if there's anyone here that's not made that decision for Jesus Christ, still living in bondage and sin and judgment, I pray that they would come and just give their life to Jesus, for the price has already been paid. The cup has already been drank. We can each one have eternal life. Speak to our hearts, we pray tonight. In Jesus' name, for your glory. Hallelujah. While no one's looking around, is anyone here? Your heart's not right with God. Anyone here tonight that you're still living in bondage and sin? You don't have to. Jesus spoke to Israel, said, "Oh Israel, why will you die?" I want to ask you this evening, why would you miss the wonderful things of the Lord when He's already paid the price for it? Hallelujah. Would anyone just raise their hand and say, "Brother Benson, I'm not right with God. I'm not right with God. I'm not right with God, but I want to make it right tonight." Is there anyone here tonight? Anyone?